Hey there, welcome back to the live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. This is our weekly podcast that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. On today's show, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite apps and, more importantly, what happens when those apps break and we actually can't use them. But before we do get started with that, let's jump into our panel. Carolyn's off this week. Jeff is running late. He's on Jeff time, which is pretty fun. But he should be joining shortly. And then we've got the other Chase, who's probably, he's about like me. He's one of the guys that shows up like 15 minutes before the event starts. So he's always there on time. Chase, how's your Monday going?
Going very well. And, if you ask my wife, I'm crazy early to just about everything. So this is not unusual.
See, I think it was, I blame my band teacher back in high school because they drummed into us 15 minutes early is on time is late. And that's just exactly how it went for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I've always had the same kind of idea, so I understand.
All right, and just in case anybody, any of you audience listeners forgot, Chase is from Automattic, I'm from Basecamp, Jeff, who's coming on in a bit, is from Wistia, and then Carolyn is speaking at some social media conference later on this week and had a sore throat, wanted to rest up for it. So that's what's going on with our panel. This week, like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about our favorite apps and what happens when we can't use them. This one actually came from Chris over at the HiRise support team, which if you haven't seen what he's doing with some of the support docs over there and kind of revitalizing HiRise, especially from the support side, definitely check it out. He's doing a fantastic job with it. But he wrote in and said, if you could only pick one tool to help you do your job better, what would that be? For my example, Cloud App was one that I use all the time. It's out of commission for a few hours last week, and it slowed me down a ton. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure I couldn't make it without Text Expander on busy days. So it got me wondering, are we too reliant on tools sometime to do our job? So that's the topic for this week. What tools are we using that makes us better and faster at our jobs, and which ones are our favorite, and what happens when the app itself breaks? So Chase, let's start with you on this one. And I'm sure we'll talk about a couple of them, but like, what's your top app that you use all the time, and why that one?
Yeah. So for me, unsurprisingly, it's probably Text Expander, just because I have so many snippets and links and just all kinds of stuff in Text Expander. So if for some reason, like, it's not running, or if I'm on a computer that doesn't have it installed, if I'm using somebody else's computer, then I kind of just freak out when, I type, just muscle memory what I expect to expand, and then nothing happens. I don't think I could live without that one. It saves me quite a bit of time and just does some really cool stuff.
Yeah, same here. I mean, my pick is probably Text Expander. And I was just looking. So Text Expander has this really cool thing where they do stats, right? I've used TE now for, since I started Basecamp. So that's four and a half years, some change in there. Character saved right at 5 million. Hours saved, I type about 100 words a minute. Hours saved 164 hours, which is just freaking awesome, all out of one little app that I paid, basically chump change for. I guess that begs the question, what happens when, something does go wrong with Text Expander? I mean, it's not necessarily like a SaaS online app kind of thing, but I have had it happen before where they push out an update that broke it for me, and then we had to wait for a fix. So in a hypothetical world, what happens to you when Text Expander just goes down?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not a terrible situation, because I can still, type out WordPress or something like that rather than, semicolon WP that, expands it really quickly for me. And most of the like snippets and things like that I have, for answering support tickets and stuff, I could either find those elsewhere or just recreate them from memory, something close. So it's not like I'm using it to, necessarily remember things. It's just sort of making things quicker and, allowing me to answer things a little bit faster than what I would normally be able to do if I type, everything word for word. It's not going to, I can still get work done for sure, but it's going to take me a little bit longer and be a lot more annoying and tedious probably.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I was talking to Andrew Spittle the other day from Automattic, from over with you guys. And we were talking about how, when it comes to Text Expanders or Snippet Savers or whatever you want to call them, right? you don't want to get into reliance on them as far as like plug and play emails, right? You don't want them really writing the bulk of your email, because that's when you lose some personality. It becomes robotic. Plus you lose that pressure to actually, you know, if you're seeing the same problem 50 times a day, you lose a little pressure there to get it fixed when you can just key in a couple of letters and then have that expand into an answer for you. But you're kind of like me. So, you know, when we use Text Expander, it's mostly, like you mentioned, like doing WordPress. That you don't want to type that out every day. Over and over. I do the same thing with Basecamp. I don't want to type out. Basecamp is not a long word by any stretch of the imagination, but when you type it, you know, 200 times a day, it kind of gets old. Intros and closings for emails. So, you know, I'm not typing out Happy Wednesday every morning, or Happy Monday in this case. It's a snippet that expands, or, you know, if you've got any questions, let me know. That's a snippet that expands. Yeah. So if it went down for me, I you know, could get through my day. It wouldn't be nearly as fast as I am now with tickets. Probably wouldn't be as not fun. I guess fun is the right word. Like it would be a headache. It wouldn't be like a migraine or put me on the floor like coma, but it would definitely be a headache there. I think the one thing that might cause me a lot of grief is, so there's a couple of snippets I have that are very detailed steps to do something. So, you know, if you're connection with Basecamp is wonky and we've got to figure out what's going on. If I ask you to do a tracewrite, there's a couple of steps and they're different for Mac versus Windows. So I'd actually have to stop, go find out how to do it again in a Mac, go find out how to do it again in a Windows machine, test those, you know, those help articles that I found to make sure they actually do work. And then I have to craft a reply back. So it would take a little bit longer there. But yeah, I mean, most of the time it's a headache, right? It would just be a headache to lose something like that. What other apps are you using that kind of day-to-day kind of thing? Chris mentioned, you know, CloudOut earlier, which is really great for screenshots and that kind of thing. You using anything like that?
Yeah, so I sort of switch back and forth between Droplr and CloudUp, not CloudApp, but CloudUp is an automatic product to, like, upload files. And so I use that for screenshots a lot as well. And so, yeah, you kind of just get to rely on, you know, if you hit the key combination, select an area of the screen, it's just, you know, automatically uploading and copying the link that you can then paste. And so, you know, the times when that hasn't worked or something's gone wrong, I find myself, you know, pasting crazy stuff and then maybe accidentally sending it or something like that, because I was just, you know, so fast used to pasting in that screenshot link and then moving on. So, yeah, you definitely notice when things like that are down. So I can empathize with Chris to say that when your screenshot tool is not working properly, it could end up being a bad day.
Oh man, talking about like just pasting things in and just kind of hitting send, not really taking a minute at the end. I do the same thing, right? So it's, you get into this flow and then, you know, we use Help Scout, which is really great about keyboard shortcuts. And it's just really easy to get in that flow and then hit command enter and just send that email off. If it wasn't for like their little 5 second or 10 second undo feature, there would be lots of customers that just kind of wrote me back and said, I don't understand this link or why it's not working. So yeah, I don't use Cloud App. I use Dropbox. Same kind of situation though with that. So Dropbox is, and I forget how I did it. There's some way you can set Dropbox up so where when you take a screenshot on a Mac, it's automatically saved to Dropbox, so you don't have to do anything. It's like you mentioned, key combination, then it's over in Dropbox. So you know, there have been times where that didn't work for whatever reason, and then, but I mean, even then, even when that doesn't work, when it's, you know, not uploaded to Dropbox, the you know, the app, the online version itself, it's still saved in my local Dropbox folder. So I can still go find it and then manually drag and drop it over into Help Scout, attach it and send it on. So it wasn't like a huge kind of like blow or anything. Have you got anything that, you know, if it's an online app, I know we talked about Text Expander being big and you know, Cloud App being an online app, but have you got anything that, you know, maybe you don't rely on it a ton, but if it did go down, it would be like a massive headache. It would be like, I am lucky to get through this day if it goes down.
I mean, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, like a search engine or something like that. Cause you know, there's a lot of times where users send in a ticket and they have some sort of, you know, weird server setup or a weird, you know, error that I need to just like Google and find out more information about it. So, I mean, that's sort of a given, I guess. I can't think of any other, well, right off the top of my head, you know, online tools necessarily that would be detrimental. Yeah, I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what that's where. So if Google goes down and you need to search for something, I guess you can be like a barbarian and go with like Bing or is Ask Jeeves still a thing? Because if Ask Jeeves is not a thing, it should be a thing.
Yeah, for sure. I've actually been using DuckDuckGo a lot for my search. They've sort of become a more popular engine, so maybe I could go with them instead of Google.
Yeah, I mean, that's what those were. If it goes down, you still got options. Which, by the way, Jeff's on the show now. Welcome, Jeff. How are things up your way?
More options. things up my way are good. Thank you, Chase.
Cool. So we've just been talking about some of the our favorite apps that we use, ones that we couldn't live without, ones that, you know, would give us a headache if something happened to it, but might not like be paralyzing, coma-inducing kind of thing. So far, we've just kind of a recap for anybody that joined the live stream late or is a guest on the show that was late. So we talked about Text Expander, which was a very popular one. We talked about some screenshot apps like Cloud App, and I use Dropbox for mine, that kind of thing. So, you know, if one of those go down, it can kind of be a headache. So, Jeff, do you have anything that, you know, first off, what's the app that you use the most? And if it goes down, what's your backup?
Whoa. The app I probably use the most is Mailbox. I can't believe I still use it, but I use it. It's so buggy. So it goes down all the time, I guess that is to say. But the reason why I use it is that I find that the thing that slows me down the most in terms of productivity is when I have a ton of emails in my personal inbox, like my work inbox, but not necessarily related to support. That I'm always like checking. I'm just checking to see if any new ones came in. I'm just kind of seeing if all the ones that were already there are still there. That kind of workflow where you kind of get stuck writing an email to a customer and you find yourself like, well, I'm on a Mac, but I find myself like command tabbing back to Mailbox just to see, you know, if any changes come in the other emails. That can kind of bury you real quick. And so what I do a lot of times is if there's something I should take action on immediately, I try to do so. And if there isn't, I put it in a list I created called Reply Later, which means at the end of the day or early in the morning when I'm drinking coffee, something like that, I could grab a couple from the Reply Later that require more thinking or a longer response or whatever. So that's probably the app and workflow that I use most often.
Yeah, speaking of email apps, I mean, all three of us use some kind of support email app, right? We're Help Scout. Chase Livingston, are you Kayako or some internal thing?
We are, but it's self-hosted, so.
Okay. And then Wistia, I have no Help Scout. Is that what y'all use?
Yep, still on Help Scout, still happy Help Scout customers.
Yeah, so that's one of those, what happens when that app goes down? So this isn't something, and I do have to give I feel like we give Help Scout kudos every time we talk about them because they're just fantastic. And plug for a future show, we do have one coming up. I think it's middle of October that Justin, the support team lead over at Help Scout, is going to be on. So that's going to be great to finally have somebody from Help Scout on the show. And that's not their fault. That's my fault for just not inviting them till now because I didn't have an open spot. So that's totally me. But anyways, you know, with Help Scout, there have been times that they have gone down. It's usually been brief and hasn't been too rough or anything else. But I think back to the days pre-Help Scout, which is a very dark time when it comes to support apps that we used. And I don't want to, you know, I'm sure people have heard me complain about the app that we used before. But when they went down, they would go down for an afternoon, right? I mean, it was no big surprise for me to come back from lunch and then just error message on their app the rest of the day. Or you walk into it first thing in the morning. You know, multiple hours, multiple days, that kind of thing. So when that app did go down, we had to resort back to Gmail. I mean, like, so our setup, when you send us a ticket, it goes into a Gmail account and then Help Scout pulls from the Gmail account into Help Scout. So at least when our email app went down, we could jump into Gmail. It was never a pleasant kind of thing. You know, there were at any given time, 8 to 10 of us replying to tickets. And so new tickets are coming in and we had this really hacky system of claiming tickets, right? So if you were going to answer a ticket, you would put a label with your name on it in Gmail, and that's how you knew which ones were yours and which ones were somebody else's. But again, at least you could call back to Gmail and hope that there was never a day where both your primary support app and Gmail were both down, because that would be just a let's all go home and have a beer kind of day. So Chase Livingston, we'll start with you on this one. You mentioned that self-hosted, so not quite as reliant on somebody else, but you know, what happens, what's the game plan? What's the backup plan if your Kayako goes down?
So to be completely honest, in the two and a half years I've been there, this has never happened. And so
knock on all the wood right now, yeah, because it's a Monday and Mercury's in retrograde and things are going to go bad. There's just waiting for a full moon.
Yeah. So this, it would be a bad day if that went down, because that would probably mean that, some pretty major WordPress.com sites would be going down as well. So yeah, that would probably be the least of our worries at that point. You know, if, Time Magazine's website or something like that goes down, since they're all hosted in the same, you know, data centers and things like that. So, yeah, I'm not, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe we would fall back to live chat a little more heavily. You know, if OLARC, is still up, we would probably have to fall back to that and then just let users know, maybe via like a little dashboard banner or something that like, hey, we're, you know, having some issues. We're going to get back to you as soon as we can. Yeah.
Yeah, I can just imagine. So like if it went down for y'all, then that's most likely like WordPress itself is down. So 25% of the web is down. And it's kind of like when Amazon AWS goes down, right? Everyone's just like, oh, break time. Let's go for a walk. Let's do something else.
Yeah, that would be a big deal.
So Jeff, what happens when HelpScout goes down for y'all? Because y'all use it like us. So I know there have been at least a few times where, you know, 5 minutes here, 15 minutes there, you couldn't get to it.
That's a good question.
Or were you just not there?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask some other Wistia team members about that. But I think for the most part, the volume is not, well, like that 5 minute downtime is not going to cause any major problems. I think if there was a like an afternoon, like a full day of downtime, we would probably revert, just like you said, to a Gmail workflow and just remind ourselves of how terrible it was like 4 years ago when we all used to share a Google inbox. I mean, that is just, for anyone out there who is still hoofing it with that shared Gmail inbox, you have got to check out Help Scout, because it is so, so bad in there.
Yeah, that's one of those just pre-Help Scout days, man. I mean, that's one of those where and so I know we talk about Help Scout a lot just because that's what us – I think Caroline and Buffer use it too, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that's what most of us use. But that's kind of the same with any support app that you're using. You know, once you go from a shared Gmail account into something that actually divvies everything up right, gives you a way to own a ticket, gives you a way to, most importantly, like leave a note on a ticket and pass that ticket to somebody else, like that is a glorious day that you never ever want to go back to that, the Stone Age beforehand. So, but yeah, I mean, I would recommend that if you haven't thought about what happens when your support app, you know, your email app does go down, that's kind of one that you want to have a game plan for. If you've got multiple channels going on, like Chase Livingston mentioned, it's not quite as bad. You know, if live chat goes down, you fall back to email. If email goes down, you fall back to live chat. So that kind of works. But if your primary channels are like email and Twitter, for instance, if email goes down, you really can't do a lot of support over Twitter. So it's probably not a good backup plan there. But just think about it, you know, kind of lay it out, because it will happen one day. Every app goes down, except for this 2.5 year hosted thing that Chase Livingston Automatic uses, evidently. I mean, props to that, like 100% uptime for 2.5 years. That's incredible.
I'm not aware of anything. I don't want to jinx us and say that it's never happened, but for me, it, you know, it's never happened. And so
sure you already jinxed it.
Probably spill. I'm sure I have a ping in Slack if Spittle's watching this, like cursing me or something like that.
And that was the last show Livingston ever was on.
Somebody on the infrastructure team is like, oh my God, my no hitter.
Yeah.
We're part of the game.
Oh, all right. So email apps, Texas Winter, that kind of fun stuff, Dropbox, which I guess, so yeah, we should ask Jeff here. What are you using for like screenshots if you got to share a screenshot with a customer?
I use Well, so for capturing screenshots, I use that cool Dropbox flow where it just stores them all in a folder for you. If you're not using that, definitely use it, because I've used Cloud App, I've used all those things, and I could not find a serious benefit to using that over just storing them in Dropbox, one less app. But then when I want to share them to anyone who's using Cloud App, one major benefit is when I want to share them, I attach them to an email. That may not be as good for some people as a link, but I work in attachments, so there you go. Holla. I do know that many of the Wistia team do use Cloud App. Some of the folks who send attachments more frequently have started using Cloud App, and they're doing some cool stuff around the enterprise, in our case, small, you know, the business teams. I know that they've been working on that, but I have not gotten on that train. I signed up for it a little while ago, couldn't get it working the way I wanted to, so back to Dropbox I went.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I used Cloud App for a while, especially when it had a free version. And then it kind of went paid to really be able to do anything with it. And it was, for me, so extra cost there, plus an extra app when Dropbox could do everything I wanted it to. Plus, I mean, what, Dropbox gives you 2 or 3 gigs for free, and I just clean out that screenshot folder every week or so. I mean, it's kind of manual at that point, but, I mean, I guess if you had, like, Hazel or something, you could automate that a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, that flow just works, and if it, like we talked about last week, if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. End of the story.
Yeah, I haven't gotten on the text expander train, too. I'm sure we cover that one in great detail, but I've never gotten on the text expander train either. I just like writing, I guess.
Dude, it is fantastic. So we were kind of talking earlier about how I don't really, and Chase Livingston, we don't really use it to, like, form template a reply, right? So it's not like, you know, somebody writes in and says, I've got this problem, and then, you know, bam, like one email is fully done just from a couple of keystrokes. I don't do that. But it does help out where you're doing a lot of repetitive things. So, you know, my name at the end of an email, I don't have to type that out anymore. Or most of my emails open up with, like, thanks for using Basecamp or happy insert day here kind of thing. You don't really have to, you can push that kind of mental thinking over onto text expander. So as you're starting that email, your brain can already be thinking through the reply that you need to craft. So that gets you a couple of more, I don't know, like a couple of seconds head start on it, which is really helpful. Plus, I can't spell Wednesday to save my life. Like, every time I spell that word, it's ridiculous. I always, like, grammar check always catches it, and I always have to go back and fix it. It's ridiculous. So you just use the insert date function on text expander. Boom, done. Happy Wednesday. Correct spelling. Everything's good.
Just use Wednesday in your head. Just say Wednesday in your head, and it works.
Wednesday? Like, I've never heard that before, but I think I can spell Wednesday now.
I've been using it for my entire life. That's how I spell it.
See, I guess that's the difference between northern schools and southern schools. They never taught us that shortcut, so, like, how was I supposed to know it?
Oh, there are many differences between northern schools and southern schools. I've heard who won the Civil War is up for debate in southern schools.
Oh,
I was joking for everyone who's listening. I have no idea.
You mean the War of Northern Aggression? Is that what you mean?
That's the one. Nailed it.
We better get off that topic right quick.
Oh, that still cracks me up every time. Because so for people that don't know me, like outside the show, I've got a degree in political science and history, and was going to be a high school teacher, and it was hilarious because I remember spending at least a couple of days or so in my education classes at MTSU talking about, all right, so some of you are going to end up in districts where they teach this, some of you are going to teach this, and it's just, yeah. Another time, another topic, but it was funny. So we talked about Text Expander. We've talked about some of the email apps that we use, both as a group and individual and that kind of thing. Dropbox and all that kind of fun stuff. What do you, and she said, so we'll run back to you. So you mentioned OLARC for live chat, which is kind of one of the standards out there. Help.com is a really good one too. But when it comes time for, I don't know if y'all really do this. Are y'all doing any kind of like, online classes? I'm not going to say webinar because I hate that word. But any kind of like online classes or video chats or anything with customers? And if you are, what are you using for it?
We don't do that super regularly. I guess for internal stuff, we use, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Zoom. It's like a video conferencing thing. So we use that over Google Hangouts because, number one, it allows more than, I think, 10 people or whatever. And two, it's been a little more reliable for us for our like video meetings and things like that. So I guess that comes to mind when, you know, when we're talking about if something went down, that could be a little interesting because we, you know, rely pretty heavily on that for like our team meetings and stuff. I mean, we could, you know, fall back to just like a text chat or something, obviously, but, you know, that could be a little iffy. And, you know, on that same line, I think one that we might be overlooking here is, or at least for the remote teams, is like a Slack or, you know, whatever you're using mm-hmm. for chat. I know that's gone down, you know, in the past a couple of times, and that really throws a wrench in things. You know, for us, I have to remember how to log into like IRC or something like that to be able to, you know, chat. We usually fall back to something like that. It's still around. So I think that's one that I've overlooked, you know, in talking here that can really, you know, cause some big problems because that's, you know, the tool that I'm in the most communicating with my team members and the rest of the company and stuff. So that could be a big deal as well.
Yeah, that's one of those where, so the phone support that we offer, if you're outside the US, we usually recommend you use a Skype account, just because making phone calls is a little bit easier with Skype than it is like local service and figuring all that out. But anyway, so Skype was down this morning, so Monday morning, the morning of the 21st, and it was down for several hours. Like I think our team first saw it go down like 2-3 o'clock central, and it was still down about lunch or so. So, you know, when you, again, it's kind of like your email thing going down, right? So if Skype is the primary way that you answer phone calls from customers and it goes down, then that channel's gone for you. You know, unless you've got like your personal cell phone and you're making, you know, long distance calls and eating up your minutes and that kind of thing. So yeah, Skype, Slack, all that, you know, you need to kind of have a backup plan for when it goes down, not if, but again, when it goes down, because if that's how you communicate with either, you know, internally or with your customers, I mean, you just got to have a plan for that. Jeff, what about y'all? You know, Chase brought up a good one there with Slack. Are y'all using Slack or HipChat or something like that? And what's the plan when that goes down? Well, okay.
We do use Slack.
Wait. So I should preface this by saying, first off, you're all in the same office. So if it goes down, you just look up at the table at the guy across from you. So a little bit easier.
Okay. Nailed it. Okay, cool. So that I don't even have to answer. Yeah, we use Slack, but if it goes down, we just talk to each other.
I can just see you like writing out like a screenshot link or something in your Dropbox link and then like passing that over to somebody. You know, like here, I copied and pasted this onto a piece of paper so you can manually input it into your computer to see my screenshot.
We just talk to each other, drop mic. All to like this nuclear option for us all working in the same place.
How barbaric.
Against remote work is we just talk to each other.
I love that. That should be a commercial. Like the next commercial y'all need to do, it needs to be the benefits of non-remote. And the first one needs to be, oh, your entire internet's out? We can still talk to each other. It's fine. Life is fine.
Yes, and that's totally happened. I remember one of the reasons why we switched to Slack was HipChat kept going down on us. And when it would go down, you'd hear kind of like the domino effect across the office of, is HipChat down? Does anybody know if HipChat's down? Hey, I think HipChat's down. And you'd kind of hear it come across the office. And then, yeah, I mean, we're just all stuck talking to each other. We don't have... for like non-technical, like service-related things, we don't have much of a game plan for those. So maybe this episode can be a good wake-up call to make sure that we put those in place. I think it's like it's one of those things where you want to make sure you cover the most essentials. Which I guess if you're remote, it's like what do we do if Slack goes down? But for us, it's probably email, and in that case, we would just fall back to the hated shared Google inbox.
Yeah, and I guess you also have to worry about, like, actual things going on in your office. Like, oh, there's the coffee pot sparked a fire, so we have to leave now. Like, I guess you have to have emergency plans for that kind of thing.
We're all dead.
I should point out, too, It's kind of, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but the timing is good here. So as we're recording this, Monday, September 21st, a little bit after 6 p.m. Central Time, Zendesk is having problems and is going online and offline for people. So, you know, again, you thought that your help out might not go down. No, it will sometime. I guarantee it. So for all of you folks that use Zendesk that's having problems and you're now back in your Gmail shared app, we feel your pain. Like, we've been there. We've done that. You're going to get through this and it's going to be fine. Yeah, but I mean, so we're in the same boat, kind of like Chase Langston mentioned with Slack. So with Basecamp, you know, we're using Campfire and we're using Basecamp to communicate and everything else. There was one time, and I think I told this story maybe on a really an episode a long time ago, but there was a time where so all of our servers were in a cab at the data center, and a guy at the data center literally tripped over the cord and unplugged our cab. So when that happened, Basecamp went down, Campfire went down, our Jabber backup went down, like everything that could possibly go down with us went down until the guy plugged everything back in and we were able to boot everything back up. And then after that, I think they invested in a good like pair of I don't know, some kind of lock or something that goes on the cab that prevents that. But yeah, that was one of those where, you know, you can make lots of plans. You can say Slack goes down, we're going to go back to IRC, and this is how you get an IRC, and this is how we can chat there. You know, Basecamp goes down, then we can still email, you know, back and forth on things. Help Scout goes down, we can jump back into Gmail and kind of do the support emails there. But, you know, sometimes, you know, Murphy's Law just kicks in and it, like, is a cascading failure and your backups don't work and then you have to fail over to, like, backups. And at some point, you just kind of have to throw your hands up and go, all right, we're going to get a beer now and we're going to walk away. And then when we come back, everything's going to be fine. So, I mean, I say that to say, look, you know, you need to have your backups in place, but realize that there might be some catastrophic event that's out of your hands and then that's just how it is. So don't get discouraged or anything if that should happen. All right. Last thoughts, anything else you want to throw in before we move out for this one? Chris, I'm sure you're listening since we were talking about this earlier today. So Chris from HiRise, I hope that kind of answered your question. But if it didn't, you know, just ping me and we'll get you some more in-depth things. But yeah, gents, anything else you want to throw in on this one? Cool. All right. See, that's the joy of if you watch this show on YouTube, you can actually see like heads shaking instead of just like weird dead silence. So let us know what the app is that you use most frequently and rely on most heavily. And let us know what your backup plan is on that one too. There might be some better backup plan, like if Help Scout goes down and maybe there's something in between where we don't have to go back to the barbaric use of like shared Gmail inbox. And if there is, I would love to know about it because it's horrible. It's just horrible when it happens. Hit us up, supportops.co/contact. That's where you can let us know how you handle all of those. Before we move into the shout-outs and everything else, I just want to make another plug. This is the last week that we're doing the Support Ops listener survey. So if you haven't yet, please do just pop over there real quick. It takes like 3 or 4 minutes. It's just a couple of yes, no questions and then a couple of text boxes. So it would make all of us super happy if you could take that real quick. Supportops.co/survey is where you need to go to take that one, especially as we start looking at, you know, our 100th episode, which is now 6 episodes away. And we start looking at what to do beyond 100 episodes. We want to hear from y'all so we can kind of shape the show to what y'all are looking for. So that said, that brings us to my favorite part of each and every week with this crew.
Kind of a sad without Carolyn, but
no. Oh, I really thought Chase Livingston was going to step in on that.
Yay!
This week's shout-outs. These are the things that are making us happy. So happy you want to shout them out from the rooftops to let you know that you should be using, buying, or whatever the verb is there. So, Jeff, let's start with you. What's your shout-out for this week?
My shout-out this week is a blog post by a super old blog post that came back up on the Coding Horror blog. And it is about the tiny details in your app, in your product or service, and how those are really the only things that are important. And my favorite thing about that, so the point of the blog post is I already picked your thing because it solves my problem, everything else that you add on to it, the tiny details, is what differentiates you from everyone else who could solve my problem, and that you should pay attention to those things. And I love it because not only is that like near and dear to my heart, that concept, but also the entirety of the blog post is written from the perspective of automatic cat feeders, which I think is just funny.
That, okay, so you're going to send me the link because that might be the best thing that I've read all week. Well, granted, it's only Monday, but all month. Yeah, we'll go with that. Awesome. Chase Livingston, what's your shout out this week?
Yeah, so I'm going to shout out a little app that Chase and I were talking about before the show. It's called Choosy, and it's just an app that allows you to run like multiple browsers side by side. So you basically set, at least on the Mac, I guess I should preface that. So you set it as your default browser, and then when you click a link in another app, so like if I'm in Slack and I click a link to open a web page or something, it has just a little pop-up that then allows me to choose whether I want to open that in any of my currently open browsers. So, you know, if I'm trying to, you know, use developer tools or something like that, I might open it in Chrome. Maybe I use Safari for just things that I want to, you know, links that I want to keep track of to read later or something like that. I could open it in Safari. So yeah, it's just a neat little app. If you're, you know, like me and a lot of times have multiple browsers open, you know, working on different things, it can be really handy.
Awesome. Yeah, that was one, like you mentioned, we were talking before the show, and it was, I looked it out and bookmarked it for later just because it looks like a fantastic little app. My shout out this week, I'm sure all of you have seen the ad blocker kerfunkel. I think that's the word I'm looking for. The craziness? I don't know, whatever you want to call it, last week. Whenever I upgraded to iOS 9, I did download Peace from Marco Arment, and then he decided to pull it from the App Store, so, and you know, advise everyone to get refunds, which I went in and did. First off, getting a refund from Apple, kind of convoluted. If I didn't have the help guide with their steps, it was nothing I would intuitively find, which, granted, probably not a real, like, big use case. So, I mean, this is the first time I've ever had to do a refund from them. So, negative one, negative shout out for that part. But huge positive kudos and everything else. Shout out to their support team. Between the time I submitted the request to the time I actually got it and heard from them, it was like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours max. And it was really, really well written, really empathetic. It just kind of everything you wanted from somebody working support for a company. And it really surprised me. I mean, I like Apple products, but I didn't expect that kind of first fast and second empathetic response from them. So it was really just a nice thing to see. So kudos to them. Great shout out. If you ever have to do a refund, like I said, it's gonna be a little hard to find, but when you do it, you should hear back from them pretty quickly. Yeah, so that's it. I'll have that and all the other show notes up at supportops.co shortly. If you're feeling generous this week and you know, want to share that love and generosity, leave us an iTunes review. Head over to supportops.co/iTunes. It's a shortcut to get you over to the show. It you know, just helps get the word out a little bit. Big thanks again to our awesome panel. These gents were fantastic. We'll all three be back next week, plus Carolyn, who will have great stories about her social media conference that she went to, and it's going to be fun. I'm Chase, and until we see you again next week, have an awesome week.